locked in. It's GloucesterCast 211. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 today. I thought Donna was coming. She faked me out. She's not here. That son of a bitch. I'm very excited for several reasons. Rick rarely does the GloucesterCast. He's a homie cast guy.
Yeah, usually because the censors don't allow me to get on the mainstream.
And Alicia, her very inappropriate podcast, the Alicia Unleashed, is with us today.
Well, hello.
With her Alicia sexy voice. Well, hello. But we've been trying to get Dylan and Kristen in here from Pigeon Cove Ferments for, what, 3 weeks now? Have we been talking about this on every podcast?
Yes, for a while.
And finally, we have them, and we have some samples here. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Kim.
Good morning.
She's back from her lime / what was the other thing?
Lime anaplasmosis and pneumonia.
Yeah, so make sure you cough all over everybody.
No, it's not contagious. It's not contagious.
All right.
That's one of the things we'll talk about is how lime and anaplasmosis and all the things you get from it are not contagious.
See, if you had the probiotics, I probably would have wiped that shit out. But you didn't. But you didn't. Pigeon Cove Ferments, tell me, first of all, where you're located and where can people find you online?
Where we're located, like our shop?
Yeah. Do you sell retail from your shop or no?
No, we did in the beginning, but once we got into stores, we stopped doing that.
Because you don't want to compete with them.
We didn't have a lot of people. It was the industrial park.
We're up in the Blackburn Industrial Park, and there's no foot traffic up there, so nobody was really coming.
Is it the Blackburn Bistro, Old Space?
Where Wally's Bistro, Blackburn Bistro was, yeah. So it's 10 Blackburn Center.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we make the sauerkraut. It's our production facility. And then we're carried in Common Crow, Willow Rest, Seaview Farm, The Cave on Main Street.
And Lanesville Package Store.
Pendercrop Farm.
Yep.
Milk and Honey in Salem. The Cave, Eva's Farm.
Eva's Organic Butchery. They have a place in Middleton, Marblehead, and Beverly. So that was a really big account for us.
Cool. That's cool.
We're also in
Coastal Green Grocers in Ipswich.
Yep.
And Appleton Farms.
Yes. Yep.
Wow, that's
all high end.
Yeah.
Because this is a high end product. So tell me.
We're also in Halibut Point restaurant carries us.
Oh, nice.
For their Rubens. Yes. The pub has us for sauerkraut option on their Rachel Rubin, and we have sold some to Short Main as well.
Oh that's right. I saw
Garden them. Cafe in Beverly.
Yeah.
The vegan restaurant.
Is that near the Cabot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right beside him, actually.
So tell me, so there's all different flavors, or you call it flavors or stuff?
Yeah, varieties.
Varieties, right?
Yeah.
In my hand, I have turmeric ginger kraut, which sounds delicious.
That's definitely the hot seller.
Really?
Yeah, that's definitely the most popular.
Salsa kraut sounds ridiculous. And this salsa kraut is, you tell me, is a little on the sweet side.
Yeah, it's more of a sweet. It's not super spicy, and it's it's flavored like a salsa, but it's cabbage based, so there's no tomatoes in it.
And then kimchi.
Kimchi is very spicy Korean fermented food.
Spicy. Yeah.
That's got some heat to it.
That's made a little bit differently than the sauerkraut.
Okay, so tell me what. See, I had no idea. Like this whole what are a quick definition of what probiotics are, what they do for you, and how that relates to your product? I mean,
probiotics are basically naturally occurring in lactobacillus fermented foods, which is what sauerkraut is. And probiotics are basically, they're a gut flora. They're part of your digestive ecosystem. So they help you digest food. They help you get proper, essential nutrients out of your food.
Enzymes and such,
yeah. Really? So it's super, I know.
Super healthy food.
Yes.
Yeah, super, intense good food. Like, it's like taking a blast of medicine every time you eat this stuff.
Okay.
But it's tasty medicine.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, people spend a lot of money buying probiotic pills, capsules, things like that.
Food.
So if you're eating delicious food that can provide that same, that same experience, that same good.
Right.
Effectful, you get kind of a win-win.
I'm sure it's 10 times better than a pill, because really, what is a pill? You know what I mean?
I think food's always better than, you can get it in food, it's always better than a pill.
Right.
And it's And it's we think it's tasty. I mean, some people, we have all different reactions from some people about sauerkraut. Like, oh, that's disgusting. Why are you making sauerkraut? Or it's like a very nostalgic thing. Like, oh, my grandmother used to make sauerkraut or whatever. But we're trying to, like, make it interesting and fun and tasty and not just, like...
Educate people on what you can do with sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Beyond
hot dogs.
Reuben and a hot dog.
Yeah.
Bring them back to kraut.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bring it back. Who did the labels? Because that person needs a shout out, right?
Yeah, that's Max Barrer, who is Dylan's buddy from...
He's a few years younger than me. We grew up together in Rockport, but...
Max, shout out to Max.
We used to cook together at my place by the sea years and years and years ago. And I've seen some of the artwork that he does. He typically does like sci-fi sort of stuff, but his pencil drawings are amazing. So I wanted to let's give him a shot, see what he can do.
Can you pass one over here, Jeff?
So he hand drew that. He sketched it and then he had it digitized for us.
But it was sort of Kristen's idea. You know, Kristen talked with him and told him what she saw in her head as far as our label goes, and he
nailed it.
He crushed it. It is so awesome. And I could see why any store would want to carry this in their shop, because it's a beautiful label on top. So we're going to try it now.
Okay.
All right. Let me see here. I'll just open it up. And we're going to pass. Everybody gets their own fork. No double dipping. Looking at you, Alicia.
Well, it's early.
Oh, we're going to start. Oh my God! It's very potent.
Is that the super spicy one?
This is the kimchi.
You know what? I've just been on a diet of just nothing for a month from the lime.
It's gonna hurt
the
you.
Turmeric might be better.
You don't have.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try the. I'm gonna try the other ones. Just don't want to spicy.
All right, here we go. We're gonna go around.
I mean, there's one woman that we got into like the last four outdoor farmers markets in Gloucester.
I eat a lot of it.
There was a woman that called during the last farmer's market. She called the people that run the farmer's market, said she wasn't showing up unless we were there.
Oh, wow.
So nice. We were there, so she ended up showing up. And then just this past week, we did an event, the New England Food Expo at Turner Hill in Ipswich. And the same woman came up, and I need to get her to like write this down and sign it, because she came and said to us that her cholesterol dropped 40 points.
Wow.
The only thing that she's done differently is started eating our kraut.
Wow. I believe that, though. You know,
kimchi is off the hook.
Food is everything.
I'm going in.
It was tremendous.
Kimchi is great for Bloody Marys. That's kimchi. So that's also great. So, you know, pick some up for
Sunday. Yeah, see, that's what we like.
Sunday,
different ideas.
So how would you put it in a Bloody Mary?
I'm sorry, but we may have to stop the whole podcast right now so I can pound down this whole thing of kimchi.
You're going to have to share it.
Shit,
it's good.
Oh, I can't double dip. I just set them up a double dip.
Now you have to get
that's
another four.
To keep, so you can do whatever you want to.
Man, are you sure you don't want to try it?
Is it super spicy?
Hey, if these guys aren't trying,
it's not crazy.
If these guys aren't trying, I have no problem eating double. So the turmeric ginger, that'll also have the same, you know, what turmeric's good for, like anti-inflammatory, things like that. So that'll have the added benefit to the probiotics.
Yes, exactly. That's probably, you know, that's.
This is right up
one reason that is probably one of our better sellers. But even like, you know, in the beginning the salsa kraut didn't sell that well, but even
German,
the salsa kraut started to turn around in sales wise. And it really does, it has a great flavor. It's a fun one to use. You throw it on tacos and do all sorts of stuff with it.
Oh my God.
I should bring this up.
Great.
I don't, you know what the thing of it is, you think of sauerkraut that you gotta put it on something. I would eat this like a salad.
Well, that's what we try to tell people. Like, you can put if you don't feel like making a vegetable at night, like, that's a vegetable.
It's
you're sitting in your fridge already made.
Oh, which is right. You could put that right in
on a salad.
On a salad, you know?
Which one is?
All right, now next we have the salsa kraut, which I've been dying to try, and I don't know how it's going to beat the kimchi or the other one, but we're going to give it a shot right now because... Oh my God.
And we didn't bring all the flavors. We have
No, thank God you didn't, because I'd be so distracted.
Tell us what your other flavors are.
We do a garlic dill, a peppered caraway, which is kind of our take on a traditional Eastern European sauerkraut, but we added black pepper to it.
Traditionally, they have caraway seed in it.
Right, the carrot. That's what I'm familiar with.
And then we have a straight plain that we did, you know, for Hell in the Point, for example, for them to carry the Reubens. And that we only sell in gallon containers. The pub, the brewery has the plain as well.
The plain, right.
Then we also have a
ginger beet
kraut going right now. We're basically just waiting on the labeling for that.
And is that going to be pinkish red?
Oh, it's red.
It's like it's a red. Purplish red. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is dangerous to close.
And then in the spring, we wanted to do a seaweed kraut. So
that sounds exciting.
Work on something like that.
Yeah, find somebody that's harvesting, foraging seaweed locally, and work with them, see what would be a good one to use.
Nice.
Speaking of local, so where do you get your all your veggies from? Your cabbage?
Our cabbage. The cabbage comes from Alperla Farms.
Okay.
And we've gotten a few things from Cedar Rock Gardens as well.
That's is that the people that you love?
Yeah, I love them. But I love Alperla Farm too. But
yeah, I'm going to pick up 30 pounds of carrots when we're done here from Noah at Alperla.
Oh yeah.
Oh really? The Ken Duck.
He's grown about he grows about 4,000 pounds of cabbages here.
Wow.
We still have another 2,000 in cold storage right now that's not processed yet.
What do you mean by processed?
Made. Shredded, salt added, so it's just like in big super sacks sitting in cold storage. We're going to be doing we do our bag about 200 pound batches.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, how long, once you open this, how long can it sit in the fridge?
It can stay in the fridge for quite a long time.
So
like on our label it says best if eaten after 1 month of opening. That was the FDA made, you know, very strict saying that was the wording they wanted us to use. But then we put a use by date of 6 months on the top.
From
the date of packaging.
Six months.
It's like a pickle. You know?
But in reality, people have been making sauerkraut and salting things for...
Since the beginning of time, right?
Cod.
In reality, I mean, it can last for...
A couple of years.
Probably.
Yeah.
These are great Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, too.
Price point right there.
My German family.
There you go. I mean, but good present for yourself. It's so selfish right now. I'm like, I want you guys to all leave right now so I can just pound this down.
Are you going
to
let us try the salsa one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to mention our salt comes from Atlantic Salt Works.
Yeah.
So they're our neighbors up at Blackburn Industrial Park. And so
did you each take part of Wally's Blackburn space, or is that were they in a different
basically,
space?
Basically, yes.
Originally,
Wally had the whole space, and then while Wally was there, they put up a wall. Atlantic Salt Works is in one section, and then Wally stayed in the other section. Paul Franklin stayed in the other section, and then when he left, we took over his part of it.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. So I totally brain fart. So yesterday I went to the supermarket, and I got some ribs because I was thinking Patriots, 1 o'clock. Start the ribs at 8 a.m. They'd be done for halftime, low and slow. Not thinking, I knew they were coming in, Pigeon Cove Ferments. I should have done the slot dogs.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Oh, well, Joe, if you can, we have to do that.
I'm such a jerk.
We'll do that. It would be great with the ribs.
Yeah.
It'd be a good side for the ribs. It will be a good side for the ribs. I know, but I could have had the slot dogs done now, and we could have all enjoyed a slot dog.
You know what? Maybe we'll do it next week and we'll get like a couple more flavors. Let's try a couple more flavors.
Huh?
We'll try a couple more flavors with slot dogs. How's that? Yeah. They're traditional sour corn. Yeah, maybe next week.
We'll do slot dogs next week.
Maybe I can eat.
Yeah, we have some other flavors we could bring in, so.
Well, you don't have. We'll buy them. The next round, we'll buy. we're not these people that like, you know, you have to give away. But yeah, next week we'll buy some and we'll do slot dogs for the podcast participants. So we'll get some really good guests because if they're listening to this, they'll be like, "Can I come in for next week? Because I want the slot dog. I want the slot dogs with the crowd."
It's not just an outstanding product. It's you supporting so many local endeavors at once. I mean, supporting Pigeon Cove Ferments. But
Aprilla Farms,
Cedar Rock Gardens,
Atlantic Salt Works.
You know, it's the creation of food and food stuff. We've talked about this before. Is like, you know, going back to the brew pub, Cape Ann Brewery, going to Ryan and Wood. You know, the creation of things here on Cape Ann and Gloucester is kind of a nice.
It's growing
industry.
Growing.
You know,
it's
and
really
it's.
Amazing.
Thriving, it seems.
And that was really important to us to do that, to make a local product. Like, we didn't want to get our cabbage from California. We didn't want to source our salt from somewhere else. Like, we wanted to try to make a hyper-local product to support other businesses and make a healthy product that is good for people.
Listen, I'm going to just say something right now. You can take the healthy stuff, right? You can take the creatine, the thing, but if it doesn't taste unbelievable, it's off the table for me. Because I like to support local businesses, but not at the cost to my taste buds.
Right.
So this is just a phenomenal product. Like, put everything else aside, it's a phenomenal product. The rest is gravy.
Right. Well, I'm saying it passes the tests on all fronts.
It checks all the boxes.
Including, even if you want to go to people, say, you know, the carbon footprint that this takes. There's literally almost no trucking. Right. You know, it's not like it's being flown in or products from all over the place or
a
few, that type of thing. So it's
We tried.
Yeah, our jars are coming 360 from Everett. I don't know where they're made, but we get them from Everett. So
can we talk about your wonderful Dogtown beer too?
The Dyer
beer that you're making a new batch.
Oh yeah. Well, last year I was approached by the Friends of Dogtown. They were having their annual meeting, and they came to me looking to make a somewhat historical beer. They had some references in some of the writings of Dogtown that referred to this Dyer brew. And really the only thing that it actually referred to as Foxberry was in the Dyer brew.
Foxberry.
What's Foxberry?
Your new favorite
beer. Poisonberry. Foxberry.
What is Foxberry?
Foxberry is Winterberry.
Winterberry. Oh, okay.
So I sort of took that and ran with it. And, you know, with a little bit of research and just thinking and knowing what's available out in the woods around here, last year, me, my wife, and our newborn went and foraged for winterberry leaves, staghorn sumac, elderberry, and cranberry. So you can get cranberries behind Crane's Beach.
Okay.
Because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some wild cranberries around here. So just thinking about what would be available to somebody in the 1700s making beer. Molasses is something that we used. I used smoke malt because a lot of the malted barley being produced at that time was basically done over an open fire, so you get a smoky characteristic to it anyways. So we did that last year, and I
tasted it at the library, and it was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did it for the library, and then we had it at the pub for the rest of the time, for the rest of the beer. And since I made that, I've got a ton of people have come up to me through the years, like, when are you going to make that Dyer brew again? So I finally had the time and space to make it. So a couple weeks ago, me and my wife and my son went out into the woods again and foraged for winterberry leaves, staghorn sumac, elderberry, and some cranberries. And it should be ready by next week.
Okay. And we can get it at the brew pub.
We can pile down that, and we can have the snot dogs with the fridge cold ferments. Oh, ow! It's a winner! It's a winner! I love it. Okay. All right, so that's on the list.
All right.
I'll give you the money because you know I can't get away from here. You gotta go get the stuff. Okay. You gotta have it chilled out. You have it all ready to go.
It'll be ready by next week. I'm not entirely sure when it'll be on. It's just a matter of freeing up a draft line, basically.
Get some on Saturday, probably by Saturday, right? Maybe.
Hopefully.
Well, then maybe we'll do it the following.
All right, we'll do what we can.
We'll do it when we can, and we can get everything.
But I want to line this all up so we can have the kraut. And we can have the boysenberry beer there.
Foxberry.
The Dyer.
Dogtown.
You can call it Foxberry.
Dogtown Dyer beer.
Foxberry beer.
I'm just joking around.
I love that. I never knew. I love Winterberry. I never knew it was called Foxberry.
I'm not 100% positive that is what it was, but I think it was.
Well, that would make sense because it would be, you know, the berries would be ripening the same time cranberries are.
Well, we were talking about this last year, and you said sumac was in it.
Sumac.
Yeah. Staghorn sumac.
I know. I was thinking to myself, are we going to get poison ivy when we drink this stuff in our throat?
No. Staghorn sumac, it grows all over the island. It's not... Poison sumac. Poison sumac is a completely different thing.
And poison sumac you only find in the West Coast and the southeastern United States. You don't get poison sumac.
Anything with the red fur on it, I assume I'm going to die if I touch it.
No, that's staghorn sumac, and it's super high in vitamin C.
It's really good for you.
You can make tea out of it.
Tea.
The Indians, Native Americans used it for damn near everything. They would dry it. They would smoke it. They would drink it. The wood...
Smoke it?
Yep. The wood... Staghorn sumac wood is very pulpy in the middle, and you can hollow it out. They make pipes out of it. They used it for a
You know, all right, I got thing. A new plan. We get stoned on the sumac, so we're gonna be like, you know, get the munchies.
Really
we have
hungry.
The slot dogs. We're gonna have. I mean, this is a perfect plan.
Okay,
I love it.
Right here on Sunday morning.
Now we should also announce the brew pub. You guys just come up with a new one, real easy, right?
Real easy. Yep. We just debuted it a couple weeks ago. What?
Brian.
Oh yeah, it's Brian finds it's his recipe.
Brian who?
Brian is my packaging man. He's the canning. Okay. He runs the canning facility.
Yeah.
But it's one of his recipes. It's just an easy drinking IPA, hop bursted, which is just the technique of instead of adding hops in the beginning of the boil when you're making beer, you for your bittering characteristic, you add a ton of hops right near the end, and you get your bittering, your aroma, your flavor, all out of the same hop. And then we also dry hop the crap out of it, too. But it's only 4.5% alcohol. It's available at the pub and in 12-packs liquor stores around town. And
I love the new cans.
I was going to say, the can of this one is really sharp-looking. They're really easy. They're all sharp, but this one's pretty nice.
So who does the design work for the brew pub? Because they got some pretty good. They got some cool.
Yeah, I
honestly
don't know.
You don't know.
No, that's one step above.
One step up. Yeah, no, the brew pub. It's funny. I do no business with them at all, right? But it's hard for me not to recommend that place when like people come down and say, "Where should I go?" You know, because it's unique. It's a cool space. It overlooks the working waterfront. It's not pretentious. And actually, like, that haddock sandwich is... I love that haddock sandwich with that the salsa that they... that hot salsa.
Yeah.
You know what?
And the fries are so good there.
My favorite thing is I just ordered the fried calamari appetizer. And no matter where I am in Gloucester, I order it. It's ready in like 3 minutes. I run over, pick it up, race home with it, so it's still nice and hot, and have a little.
Craig Kimberly always says that the fried clams there are his favorite.
Are his favorite.
He says that every time we mention it.
Yeah.
He mentions the
fried
clams.
Out of this world.
I haven't had them.
You know, it's super hard to find a good fried clam. So many times I go in and they say, you know, are you sure these are clam bellies? I want the whole clam. And so many times you get stupid clam strips, which are just like eating little rubber bands. And it's like
that's for the people that like have it in their head that they don't want the bellies, so they have to. So they provide that so some people can still eat. Huh?
Clam strips. We have them on our menu, but we also have whole clams.
Yeah, you have whole clams. They are unbelievable.
There you go. There you go. Come go get your Pigeon Cove ferments. I'm going to go run down the list of places you can get it. Tendercrop Farms, Willow Rest, Common Crow, Milk and Honey in Salem, Seaview Farm, Rockport, The Cave, Gloucester, Eva's Farm, Lanesville, Packy, Cape Ann Farmers Market, when you're there, Coastal Green Grocer in Ipswich, and Appleton Farms. And probably soon, rapidly, because once anyone, all you have to do is probably bring this into any place, and they're going to say, yes, I want that on my shelf.
We're trying.
We're
working our way off the island.
I wish it was that easy.
Have you gone to Whole Foods? Or
we haven't. That's like big
that's
time.
That's a big, huge step.
Yeah. We don't have a barcode on the table. It's expensive to get a barcode. We wanted to test the waters first, make sure it was going to work, and then, you know.
You know all you have to do is you you have to do, this is, I'm going to give you the recipe, okay? This is the recipe. Do a super obnoxious, pretentious Kickstarter campaign.
Right? That's Joey's least favorite thing in the world.
I have somebody
Shark
Tank telling me I should go on Shark Tank. I'm like, yep. They would eat me alive. I'd be up there.
No, we love those people that do the super pretentious. they you know they're loaded to begin with, and they do the super pretentious Kickstarter campaign.
People asked us about that. Are you going to do a Kickstarter? And I was like, no.
See, this is one I could get behind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, family coming up and stuff like that, they get the baby and everything else, you totally get behind it. It's the ones that are super wealthy. They already have a thriving, successful business, and then they do the Kickstarter that drives me up a wall. Drives me up a wall.
Well, it's not fair because it kind of ruins it for everybody. That's not what Kickstarter was intended for.
I hear you.
Yeah,
it
kind of feels weird.
And I love the ones where they say, oh, yeah, and you can, for $25, we'll give you a sticker. Fucking awesome. Thanks. really wanted that sticker. We got good stuff coming up. This is one of those busy times of year. Middle Street Walk is this coming Saturday, the 10th. The Lobster Trap Tree, which we love, which the Lobster Trap Tree, is at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday. The Middle Street Walk, same day. There's events up and down the street. We love Cape Ann Art Haven, the stuff that they do. But we'll put a link to the Middle Street Walk on there,
okay,
so people can get way more information, because we could take up the whole podcast talking about the Middle Street Walk.
Gingerbread houses.
There's literally 40 different events all within two blocks.
Right, which is tremendous.
The Cape Ann Museum opens up and does great stuff. Art Haven's doing great stuff.
The Sargent House,
the Universalist Church. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. If you have children and you don't bring them there, if you're not working and you don't bring them there, you're a bad parent. That's our line.
I feel bad that we miss Santa.
Not to be judging, but
Do your kids do anything to this?
Yeah, YMCA does a part of Middle Street Walk.
Yep. As well. Good stuff. I want to do another shout out to my buddy Chuck Shoebridge. I call him Shoeberry, Boysenberry Shoeberry. Shoe made our stickers for us once again. The new GMG stickers.
Yes,
and he doesn't charge me.
I was
going
to say, you didn't have to pay $25 for
it. No, per sticker. That would be some Kickstarter. No, we get good people, and Chuck's one of those guys that really, he just steps up and creates our stickers for us. So thank you, Chuck. This is big news. Big, bad, part of the ongoing bad 2016.
Sad. We just finished with the good news in the food realm world. Sad news, if people can take a moment. I don't think we need a moment of silence, but both the inventor of the Big Mac and the inventor of General Tso's Chicken both died this past week. Both at the age of 98 years old. So knowing these things come in threes, if there are any 98-year-old food pioneers out there, you know, Jimmy Twinkie or Harry Dorito, whoever's out there, just be very careful.
Step easy.
My big question is, did they have a steady diet of what they invented?
Make it to 98. I'm going to guess not. I'm guessing, but I don't know. You know.
You never know. There's always those outliers that, you know, the guys that smoke the pack and then get into the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah.
So, you never know. You never know. Alicia, you wanted to do a feature for the blog for any restaurant people that are open Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Right.
Send in the information so Alicia can do a post to let...
Yeah.
Because some people don't like to... Some people like to go to certain places instead of staying home. They like to go to these places, right?
Yeah, and Christmas Day is actually becoming more common that restaurants are open, and I don't know why, but it's becoming more and more common. I know around here, I know Beauport Hotel, just off the top of my head, they are going to be open on Christmas Day. So really interested to see who else around in the area who would be. I'm going out on Christmas Day, so that's, you know, one of my selfish reasons. So I would like to know who's open, and also for New Year's Eve.
Hotels kind of have to be open on Christmas Day, right? Because
if they have guests.
But they, you know, like Beauport just also did Thanksgiving Day. They were open and they did
sold out.
So
Kim's family went.
Awesome.
No, my family.
Oh, they done
that. I tried to reserve for them from the hospital room. I was like, you know, I gotta take care of my family, so I tried, but they were.
Right. Oh, that's how we knew they were sold out, because you tried to get your family.
Yeah, I tried to get my family. Right. It was the day before.
And then at New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve is my favorite. And so just all the restaurants in Gloucester, there's so many that do awesome dinners and things like that. So I would love to compile the list and send everything in, and I'll keep updating it. So
I have New Year's with my daughters this year. We have it every other year with my ex-wife, and we're thinking about doing the Rockport Rockin' Eve.
Cool.
Oh, that's fun. Sweet.
First time. Have you guys ever done it?
Yeah. My father plays music in every year, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Fun. Yeah.
It's fun.
Have you been too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think the kids will like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's fun.
It's cold, right.
Dress warm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, we want to. The kids aren't going to stay up till midnight, but.
But it's great because I mean almost every this church is doing this church is doing that, this building is doing this over here doing that.
It's
over
like
there,
Middle so. Street Walk, but
yeah, that. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in different places. You know, like for the Shaolin, they have each hour they've got a different act going on. Oh,
wow. Yeah, there's a whole page on just on it. It will for Rockport, and it'll tell you everything that's going on. And
it's part of that group that's been doing all the cool stuff in Rockport. That's really like taken off in the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah Kelly. Sarah Kelly's part of that group. I think Heather Atwood might be involved. I'm not sure. And the farmers market. Yeah, the people that do the farmers market and
Rockport,
stuff.
Rockport. I can see their logo in my head. I just can't think of the.
They're
Rockport
great.
Festivals
and Pigeon Cove Tavern's doing an awesome New Year's
Gatsby.
Thing this year.
Oh, Gatsby theme.
Yeah, the dinner and then the party after. So
I so you can stay
out.
There and you don't have to get crushed and drive because the Rockport crops are tough. Well, you shouldn't drink and drive anyway.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, but it's good that you can go someplace and get drunk and not have to worry about driving, is how I should say it.
Right.
And because you can stay right at the Emerson Inn.
Yeah.
Which is, they've done a beautiful renovation.
We crashed at our house. We live on Pigeon Hill Street. So.
Yeah, right down the street.
Perfect.
Oh, is that where you guys are?
Perfect.
Paul Morrison lives up there, and the Eves family lives up there. I think was it Haven Ave or something?
Yeah,
Phillips
Ave, it's up
there.
Phillips
Ave,
yeah.
I grew up in Pigeon Cove.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
I was born at home over in Long Beach and then moved into the house that we actually live in when I was 4.
Oh, wow.
And now we rent the house for my mother.
Very cool.
I wonder if you know my son, Alex Houck. He cooked at my place by the sea for like 4 or 5 years.
I've worked at my place for a long
time. Yeah, but he does more recently.
Yeah, maybe he's a little bit
old. Dylan's been at the brew pub for a long time.
Almost 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so your son was in high school when he...
Yeah.
Then.
Okay. Yeah.
This is probably an age difference.
Yeah,
Last time I worked at my place was in 2007. I think. 2007.
That was 19 years ago. Your son was a...
Oh, he was still little.
Yeah. I was playing soccer. But ladies' night was a big success. We got some pictures from ladies' night downtown Gloucester. That was a big success from what we
heard.
It
was so warm that night. It was like a beautiful night to be out.
Yeah.
Were you down there?
I didn't go out. I have my son, so.
Oh, yeah.
And how old is your little baby?
He turned 17 months yesterday.
Oh, that's
so pretty soon he's going to... So now this is the stage you're at, the bent over stage. This is all day long because you don't want him to go crashing into stuff. So you got to be bent over all the time, right?
Yeah. He started walking at about...
Well, no,
nine,
you mean
nine,
us being bent over.
No, you bent over, right, yeah. You bent over because you guys are a little shorter than me. But like when you got to, you're like this the whole time. Because, I don't know.
Oh, he's good. He runs.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah. Solid?
Yeah. That's because he had him out foraging for winter berries.
You know? Boysenberries. It was boysenberries.
And he loves, just to say, he loves the sauerkraut. He eats it every single day.
He loves sauerkraut.
Like, he's going to have good digestion.
If he wants to eat something, I'll just put sauerkraut on it, and he gobbles it down. Like, he's like, coming for me. Like, I'm like, all right. My mom's like,
so if a parent's looking for baby food for finicky children,
yeah,
jar of sauerkraut.
It's worth a try, at the very least.
I'd suggest the kimchi, maybe come a little bit later.
You know, we haven't given them
start
that
with
yet.
The salsa and work your way up to the kimchi.
We should mention, so ladies' night was this past Thursday. This coming Thursday is friends and family
friends
night.
And then
following...
I believe it's the following week is men's night.
Yeah.
To the 15th, right? It's a little early for some men to start shopping.
That's 10 days out.
I usually like to...
It should be the 23rd.
22nd, 23rd, I like to start thinking about what I got to get. You know?
I think I have 6 of those CD calendars left. And I know, I'm not even going to push them anymore. Because I know the last, three
some
or four days,
minute.
The guy's going to be like, I need that guy to eat something.
Ladies' night was early this year. Like, I can't shop.
I thought so too.
I can't shop until I get my Christmas tree up. And I'm putting it up this weekend. And then I start feeling like shopping.
I felt the same way. Like, when I heard it was Christmas, because it kind of it just snuck up on it. When I heard that it was going to be ladies' night, I was like, what?
What? It was a few days after Thanksgiving. I don't know. I just felt
December,
it was a little too
first
early.
It was early.
I'll go to friends and family instead.
There you go. And, yeah, so any of those shops downtown, if they want to send us a press release for what they're doing for friends and family or the men's night, we'll be glad to put it up for them. Rick and I, just in the rabbit. Rick, this is the first time. So the rabbit and I, since the year 2001, have a men's trip It used to be a much larger group of guys that go. As the guys got married, like with these guys, it shrunk. But I maintained my February men's trip, and now this year it's gonna be. But we just booked. We're gonna go to Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
that's awesome.
I'm super excited. From there, it looks so pretty there.
Rick's the first. This is the first time me and Rick have been gonna be traveling together.
Yeah. You guys are gonna have such an awesome time. Oh my god.
You think?
No.
Yeah, it's going to be bananas.
My father lives in Cabo San Lucas year round. He retired down there.
Oh my God.
Damn. Where is that?
That's West Coast.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a flight.
So yeah, what state is that in?
Baja.
Okay.
Yeah. It's at like the bottom of the Baja Peninsula.
Okay. A lot of celebrities go to Cabo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a real deal. It's not like
It's a quick shot down from if you live in California. It's a
so fast.
Yeah, this is what. Which are you? Where are you from?
I grew up in. Well, originally I'm from Woburn, and then I moved to North Reading and graduated high school from North Reading. But my father's a police officer in Winchester for 29
So I'm surprised
years.
He ended up over in Cabo, because you think
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
loved it.
Because the west coast of Mexico, is like JetBlue is a direct flight.
Well, so my parents bought a timeshare there years, like 20 years ago. Why, I don't know, but they chose that one, and he just fell in love with the place.
Yeah,
and
nice
when
spot.
He retired from being a police officer, he was like, I'm out.
So he lives 12 months of the year he's there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you guys go visit him very often?
We've been once. And now with our baby, it's like, I don't want to get on a flight with a 17-month-old to, it's a little bit, once he gets a little bit older.
A couple of years.
Putting him in a plane for a little while, yeah. A
couple of years.
Yeah. But he comes back to visit us, so.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, I'm very excited though. Last year I put on, I think, 15 pounds in 5 days.
I can relate.
It was all beer. Yeah.
Do you go there every year, the same place?
I've been going to Playa for like 5 or 6 years now because it's such a no-brainer. Like, usually, so it's February, you can't really go to Florida and get guaranteed beach weather. It's all
right.
About getting to the beach for me. So, but Mexico, you generally can. And the buckets of beer are like $11, and
they sell by the bucket.
Yeah, buckets of beer, like six beers for $11.
Wow.
So you just get, you sit on the beach and get crushed. We stop early.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
Huh?
Doesn't sound like you at all. I mean, you don't usually like to drink or anything.
Joey, I was going down for the yoga classes, the spa, the early morning runs up and down the beach, the meditation, some
you guys
don't yoga.
Seem like you're on the same page.
You can do all that. You can do all that. We start early too. We start early. Yeah, we found this place last year. It was the Ana Suites, and it's very. It's about 3 blocks from the beach, but very central. And so, like, anything, the furthest spot that you want to be in Playa del Carmen is like a 15-minute walk, and the beach is like a 5-minute walk. And there's all, like, the shops and the right outside your door is all, like, you know, there's probably 200 outdoor cafes up and down Fifth Avenue. And, anywhere you can go where there's outdoor cafes and people watching, I'm all into that. I'm all in. And then they get the turquoise water and white sandy beaches, direct flights. You know, Playa del Carmen ticks off all the boxes for me. So I'm psyched to have Rick there. Yeah. And it's short money trip, too.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like 4 guys in one suite.
Okay.
So it doesn't cost a lot.
It doesn't cost.
Rick, you want to talk beverage.com?
Beverage, it's the .com. I just have a thing.
It does, yeah.
Okay, so it's an app for Apple or Samsung, whatever you guys get. Whenever you buy a beverage, adult beverage, could be liquor, could be wine, could be beer, either from a store or a restaurant, a bar. You take a picture of your receipt, submit it, and they have different, can't do coupons, you know, so they have different rebates, I guess. So if you have like Boston Lager, Sam Adams Boston Lager, that's $3 back on your PayPal account.
It goes directly to your PayPal account.
Yeah, you can do it for that. So it's you can do 2 offers from the store and two offers from the bar or restaurant every 24 hours, but it'll go right back. So if you're going out anyway, you know, you can kind of check your beverage.com, see what, I was going to get the you know, this kind of wine, but maybe I'll try this kind of wine because I get $4 back on a glass. That type of thing. Or a bottle of Bailey's. There was $5 back on a bottle of Bailey's. So as people are going out and getting their holiday things ready, it's Bev Rage, BevRage. And
since we just started talking about it, I looked it up on my on the Google Play Store for my Android device, and it is currently 42% downloaded on my cell phone, 65%, 89%, 100%.
Riveting.
And you've already gotten $5 back.
$5! So it's simple to use, and it's you're making money for something you're doing anyway.
Yeah? It's very highly rated from the Google Play Store. Opening right now. Get cash back on your beverage purchases, swipe. Available at any store, bar, or restaurant, swipe. Snap your receipt, get your cash, swipe. And sign in. Sign in with Facebook. Why not? And I'm in. There we go. It was that simple. I think, what was that, 90 seconds?
If even. And I think if you put in, at some point you can put in your PayPal account if you want to get the money direct deposited, you know, kind of like that way. But it's super easy, and I think probably since June or July, I think I'm up like $110, and
nice.
You know, and just
nice.
Love there's it. Some sort of code I could give you if I remembered it, so I'd get $2 when you sign up and refer. But I told you to.
Well, you better tell me because I didn't go through the whole thing. So tell me before.
That's okay. Yeah, but I think that's the type of thing is that it's just sort of it's a referral thing. It's for beverages. Distilleries or distributors to promote beverage. So the one thing is it has to be a printed receipt. It can't be a handwritten receipt. And it has to list on the receipt what it is. So if it says vodka without a name, then that doesn't count. But it's got to say Kettle One or Tito's or whatever it is.
That, or Beaufort or Vitamin Woods.
If they, I don't think they're on.
If they participate.
Oh, we're going to have to talk to.
They'd have to participate.
We're going to have to talk to Bobby Ryan. Because Bobby Ryan is... and his son, they're pretty progressive. I bet you if they heard about this, they'd be all in. Yeah. They like to. They're action people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're definitely action people. So we got that. Where are we now? Oh, a Lyme disease, Kim. So tell us. So give us. Last week we talked about what you had, right? But we want to talk a little bit about the misinformation.
The misinformation. So. So I started going to the doctor when I started feeling badly, and everybody kept saying, you cannot get Lyme disease if the tick is not engorged and if it has been on your skin for less than 24 hours. Because I had a tick, and it was not engorged, it was totally flat, and it was only on me for like 2 hours. So that was the story from everybody at the doctor's office. Everything I read online also said the same thing. So, but that is completely false. So you can get Lyme disease from any tick bite, and then there's also these new diseases that you can get as well from ticks. They've only been diagnosed since the 1990s, and that's anaplasmosis and then babesiosis, which is really scary. People die from that one. And then there's ehrlichiosis. But all of these, I got both anaplasmosis and Lyme disease from this one little tick bite. So, and it wasn't engorged, it was completely flat. So I just want people to know that, because that is the main thing that you hear from everybody. And it's 100% false.
And that's so odd for you, Kim, because you're never outside trucking in the woods or taking any pictures in any swamps or anything like that. So I'm so surprised that you actually got a tick on you. That's so weird.
Well, I follow a super tick protocol. Like, as soon as I get home, if I've been in a wooded area or whatever, I take off all my clothes, I put them in the wash, and I take a shower. And even though I do that religiously, I still had a tick on me. So, you know, it's what's scary. Going on with it. The ticks are really, really scary. And, you know, one very plausible theory about why we have such a plethora of Lyme disease now is because...
Coyotes.
It's because the coyotes have outcompeted the fox for the same habitat, and fox are much better killers of white-footed mice and chipmunks, which are the greatest vectors of Lyme disease.
Chipmunks,
white-footed mice. People used to think it was deer, but it's not really deer. It's really the white-footed mice and chipmunks. So coyotes are scavengers. They'd much rather scavenge on the beach than have to go searching for, you know, little animals that are just a little bite for them. So, and fox are much better killers of the, you know, the expression of like a fox in a hen house?
Yeah.
That's because when a fox gets into a hen house, they kill all the chicken, they kill all the hens, and then they cache the food and, you know, they save it for later. A fox does that if it finds a little chipmunk nest or a little, you know, mouse nest. Coyotes aren't interested in doing that. They just would rather, you know, eat people's garbage and scavenge on the beach. So that's why we have this, that one very plausible reason why we have such an overwhelming number of ticks and incidences of Lyme disease now. So it's really, you know, it's something everybody has to think. You guys, you're out foraging for
diarrhea.
Yeah,
we have two dogs and a cat.
And your pets can bring ticks into your house, and then you can grab a tick in your house.
There must be like a 45-minute process after you come home to go through all the animals.
Well, you really have to. But our dog, because our dog had Lyme disease, our dog gets, we put Advantix on her once a month. So, because she's had Lyme disease twice, and I just stopped messing around.
Our dog was just diagnosed with Lyme disease as well.
And the Advantix really, really works. I give her a bath once
a month.
Joey
loves the dogs. Joey is
This is proves my lifestyle.
Joey loves the dogs.
This is it right here. Dogs, a pain in the ass, right? Can't go on vacations because of the dog. You can't get the dog with the ticks.
I gotta go home.
Gotta go home. Can't stay out because of the dog. Yeah. Right, and then the wilderness where you get eaten by animals. Instead of going to a nice posh hotel and just chilling out, you get a nice steak taken to you. You gotta go out in the woods and run around in the woods and get ticks and limes and amber lycopotis or something.
Anaplasmosis.
Yeah.
What is anaplasmosis?
And it's a tick-borne disease, and same as babesiosis and ehrlichiosis. And it used to be quite rare. And now the Gloucester health nurse, Kelly, I forget what her last name is, she told me that there were 5 cases of it reported this year on Cape Ann. Wow. And so it just makes you very, very sick. I ended up in the hospital with pneumonia.
I heard the worst symptom of the ehrlichiosis is like you get this perversion for licking people's ears. It's true. You never heard of that?
Well, babesiosis is the one that's super serious. People can really die from that. It's terrible. Like it screws up your
craving to lick people's ears out of nowhere. People go to church. No, what happened was there's people sitting in the pews, and the one behind them just had an urge. They couldn't help themselves, and licking the ear of the person in front of them. The person freaks out. Like, what's the matter? I'm sorry. I got the ehrlichiosis.
So just so it's clear, Kim, Joey's making light of your pain and suffering.
No, he's not.
She knows.
But he is not helping me with my information campaign.
No, it's so, very serious. It is. I mean, everybody knows you were down and out for a long time.
Well, it's been a month. I still have it. I have to just have another whole batch of antibiotics. But like with Nicole's son, you saw Nicole's post.
His leg blew up.
Little boy, they never even saw the tick. And then I don't know if you saw the post, but his leg, you know, like went like that. He lost all his fingernails. I mean, he's very active. He's, you know, kayaking, woods walking. I mean, how old is Thatcher? He's like 10?
Yeah.
Or
that.
Small or something. Younger, something like that.
Nice.
And he ended up in the hospital with this, like,
his giant leg was freakishly large.
Nicole posted a picture, normal sized leg and then blown up leg.
Yeah,
it was
weird, like his fingernail, losing your fingernail.
Yeah,
he got Lyme disease.
Yes, okay. From a tick that they never even saw.
And said that, and the doctor said that it wasn't the story, that the doctor says you couldn't possibly get it because the tick wasn't on you long enough or something. Like, it was a similar story to what.
Oh, I didn't read that.
The misinformation
part.
Thing.
Well, I didn't read that. I don't recall that part because they never even saw the tick. So,
Well, we're talking deer ticks
as
opposed to dog ticks.
Yeah, right,
as opposed to white-footed mice ticks.
Deer ticks.
So the deer ticks, they're like literally the size of a period at the end of a sentence.
Right.
And
newspaper,
that type of thing, tiny.
I never knew what to look for.
When they get engorged, they get, you know, they get bigger. But when they start out, they're, you know, as tiny as a pinhead. And all four stages, the the engorged stage, the adult stage, the nymph stage, and the larvae stage are all toxic, or can all transmit disease, all four stages. I put a post up on Good Morning Gloucester with the showing the difference between a deer tick and a dog tick, so you can see, you know, the difference.
Let's go take a walk in the woods right now. Let's go forage. You should raise the price on your physical firm your stuff.
It's very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Jeff Weaver's got a new show through December 17th. Kim, you had some news about this?
Yeah, well, he's just amazing. He's a phenomenal artist. Gift. Very gifted. It's his paintings and his drawings. And they're right there across the street from the brew pub. So he gets a wonderful crowd at his shows, really. Serious art buyers.
He's unbelievable. He's a gift. Yeah. I'd also like to mention, it's with a theme with that little hot corner of the city, Minglewood Tavern on Sundays has $5 pizzas.
Oh.
So that's a good deal.
Yeah, that's super fun.
And you can get that to takeout, too.
Wow.
And I like their little brick oven pizzas there.
Wow.
Pretty good. So there you go. Anybody got anything they want to add? Thank you guys for bringing
the
awesome stuff.
Yeah, thank you for
this is amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you for having us. I can't wait to buy some.
Thanks.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We got to find out. How you guys exchange information so we can find out if the beer is ready to get crushed and eat slaw dogs with the kraut.
In the woods.
In the woods.
In the morning.
Take a walk in the woods.
With the dogs.
With the dogs. Bring the dogs. All right, Gloucester Cast 211 in the books.